Amen. It's your missionary, church. That's your missionary.
Ed lost his wife, he's lost their mother suddenly past fall. And yet, they're speaking about the kingdom of God. I wanted to share that with you today because of our topic. We're in the series of mental health. And today's topic is not one that's easy to preach. It was very challenging to write. I found everything I could to keep from writing it. I got a ton of stuff done this week. Let me tell you, the house, like, things are done in our house. The laundry that my wife's been asking is all straightened out and taken care of. I did everything I could before the sermon. But it was just very, very difficult sermon to write. I keep losing myself. Do you guys, am I losing it out there too? All right. I knew I was losing it, but. Thanks for validating that. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, we dispelled the myth of Christians often have in regards to mental health. And last week, we looked at what to do when we are overcome anxiety. This week we're talking about depression. Next week Pastor Aishi is going to talk to us about the topic of worry. How many of you ever worry? Okay, I see some pointing fingers at spouses, but we won't worry anymore. I see you can change the topic because no one in here worries. No one raised their hand. All right. And then we'll look at chronic negativity. I'll spit out that word. I got to learn how to say it before I preach on it. It's chronically thinking, negative thinking. It affects us. Constantly thinking. Anyhow, that's a sermon 2 weeks from now. I want to preach that now. Once again, I did a lot of work rather than work on this sermon. I can preach that one if you'd like. I'd rather do that. But God has us here. And then we'll round out the series on mental health right before Easter, talking about burnout, which I know is something none of you have experienced in life. Your lives are just so organized and balanced. Your work, family life is balanced. Please indulge me that week as I preach to myself. I have to be honest with you today. The reason it's hard to talk about depression is because my wife told me not to use this word, so you don't blame her, yell at me. It just pisses me off. Ticked is not, I put other words in there, but there was no other word that just seemed to do justice to the way it pisses me off. The way church talks about depression. The way we view depression. It angers me, not in what the church says, but it angers me more when I think about how I used to pastor people through depression. If I could go back in time, you know, everyone says if they had a time machine, where would you go? I would go to about 20 years ago. And I'd start smacking myself every time someone with depression came in. I just want to show up. I can think of those moments where I would sit across the desk from someone or greet them in the church. Because I had no idea what it took for that person just to get out of bed, to come to church, to tell me, I'm struggling today, Pastor. Pray. I had no idea that how much energy it took for them just to smile and shake my hand while inside darkness, sadness, hopelessness, and they were walking around in a fog. And yet my platitudes, I just wish I can just smack myself. I punch myself in the face. It just makes me mad. Come on, cheer up, brother. You gotta snap out of it. You're in church. You gotta fake it till you make it. You know what you need? This is the one that... Just serve Jesus more. Just increase your faith. You just don't believe God enough. More faith, more good deeds was the mantra. Oh, it makes me mad, church. So forgive me. I'm preaching today from an emotion that I shouldn't be preaching from. So I'm not angry with you. I'm angry with myself. I'm angry with the church, the way we deal with this topic. The reality is depression is much more than just feeling sad or just being discouraged. Depression is a constant darkness. It's like walking around in a fog. It's like having no feeling, no motivation, no hope. So when we sing Jesus Christ, you're my living hope, we can't comprehend what that means. We know it to be true, but we just can't feel it. Breaks my heart that at church, the place that should be the safest to talk about depression is the place people most often feel ashamed about being depressed. They go to the local bar depressed and walk away encouraged or drunk. At church is the place where most people feel guilty for being depressed. I mean, if someone has a sore throat, we'd give them a throat lozenge and say, go see a physician. If someone has a broken bone protruding from their leg, we would not say, have more faith. Serve Jesus more. We would say, get yourself to a surgeon. Yet, when people struggle with depression, our brothers and sisters, we tell them, keep smiling. And keep it to yourself. So today, you're one of the many in our community who are fighting depression. You're not alone. Know that. You're not alone. And I have a verse that's going to tick you off. I'm warning you now, okay? I'm sorry. It's going to make you mad. But as your pastor, it's not my job just to give you rainbows and butterflies. It's my job to preach the unadulterated word of God. Okay? That's what I'm going to do today. Here's the verse. You can put it on the screen. It's Proverbs 12:25. It states, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word... New King James, it says, a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, the KJV says, but a good word makes it glad. I remember being in the throes of depression, being mad, when a pastor friend told me this. I was deep in depression, deep in a fog. And I'd gone to the altar after prayer. It was like a platform, and I would have been over this side. It was set up a little differently, but I was over here. And I went up for prayer. And the man, and this wonderful man of God, Pastor Anthony, you know Pastor Anthony, great guy. You ever want to have a good laugh, go hang out with Pastor Anthony. Incredible man of God, man of great faith. Encouraged me so much. I went forward for prayer. He prayed for me. And then he said, David, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word cheers him up. I looked at him and I said, thank you so much, but I really just want to punch you in the face right now. What are you talking about? Good word? Good word? I mean, come on! Get a good word to just cheer me up. Good word brings hope. I just want to punch you.
Good word brings healing? How? I was stuck in the fog. How could a good word bring hope? But how many know the word of God does not return void? It is the truth of God's word. Anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. You can go ahead and take it down. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself lost and adrift in the fog of depression. Like a ship lost at sea. You just feel adrift. You're not sure where land is, where the ocean is. You're just lost. I believe that if you're here today, our Heavenly Father is going to speak into the fog. As a foghorn of a ship calls out, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart and mind in Christ Jesus and equip you this morning. I believe that His Word is going to speak to your heart, and it will be a beacon of light to draw you back safely to the shores of clarity. Because I know this, the voice of the Good Shepherd will guide us through every season of life, including the season of fog in the valley of the shadow of death. He is still there. So if you have your Bibles with you today, our scripture is found in Lamentation chapter 3. And as you turn there, I want to be clear, there's multiple reasons why the fog of depression comes on. Okay? There's biological reasons. A chemical imbalance or a chronic pain can cause depression. Hormonal changes causes depression. This is why postpartum depression is very common. A new baby changes a woman's hormonal chemistry and causes depression. A lack of sleep is a biological reason that causes depression. Once again, a new baby causes depression. Okay, you're slept through the night. Fine. Okay, fine. Not getting enough sunlight can cause depression. Anyone live in northeastern Wisconsin? Not getting enough sunlight can cause depression. There's relational reasons for depression. Betrayal, divorce, isolation. Hello, pandemic. There's circumstantial issues that cause depression. Death or loss of a good friend. Trauma. Retiring oftentimes brings depression. This is one that I can't wait to find out. Except Scripture doesn't say that pastors can retire, so I'm not sure. That's all right. We'll get down that road when we come. Right, Brother Lonnie? All right. Empty nest causes a lot of people depression. When kids move out, causes a lot of depression. We have a rule in our house. The boys have to be out by 18. 18 and out. The little girl has till she's 30 before we'll talk about it. Okay? Empty nest causes depression. And then the one I want to focus on today is the spiritual. Because every moment of every day is a spiritual battle, especially for those who are in the fog of depression. Once again, I'm not a licensed counselor. I'm not a therapist. I've taking classes on it, and I've learned enough about it to know I ain't one. Okay? And that's the best grammar I got. I'm a pastor. I deal in the spiritual. So this morning, I want to look at the life of this great prophet, Jeremiah, who is deeply depressed and fighting with everything in him to find hope. Lamentations 3 was written by the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is in deep darkness, a dense fog, and utterly depressed as he pens the letter, this lamentation, this poem to God. You see, his faith had been rocked to the core. He lived during the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 587 B.C., Solomon's temple had stood for over 400 years, was the place where the presence of God was to be found. And yet, the Babylonians leveled it to the ground. So where is God now?
Not only did they level the temple, but they raped, murdered, pillaged, imprisoned his entire community. He watched his family and friends be marched away to exile. He witnessed loved ones deported, his family killed. He suffered greatly outwardly. And now, months had gone by, even years, and he's writing out to God because he's still suffering greatly inwardly. Let's look at his words. You can follow along with me on the screen. I'm a man who has been afflicted by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Sounds like a man depressed. Indeed, he's turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He feels like God is out to get him. He's made my skin and my flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and a hardship. He's made me dwell in darkness like those who are long dead. He's walled me in so that I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I cry out to help, he shuts out my prayer. How many think this is a guy that's going through some stuff? Jump down to verse 17, if you will. I have been deprived of peace. I've forgotten what prosperity is. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I hoped for the Lord. I will remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. The title of today's sermon is, Why the Downcast, O My Soul? Jeremiah is a man of God. He's a prophet, someone who stood boldly declaring God's decrees. And for his efforts, he was branded as a traitor. He was imprisoned. Jeremiah was not just laughed at. He was hated. His own people punished him. And then when the fall of Jerusalem happened, so did the Babylonians. All the while just hoping to hear from a word from God from him, but at the same time rejecting it when he gave them the word of God. He was, quite frankly, a pastor without any converts. No one listened. And yet, he served God faithfully. And what was his reward? Well, it's there. Brokenness, depression, darkness, utter hopelessness. How many want to serve God today? Come on now. So I want to bring you three truths today, because three is the, Jesus always taught in threes, so we're going to teach in three. I don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like three is the right number to have. Three truths to remember when you're dealing with depression. What do you do when you feel like God has let you down? When your hope has failed you? When your soul is downcast within you? The first truth is this. Your emotions are valid, but they are not permanent. Your emotions are valid, but they are not permanent. It's very, very important that we name our emotions, especially when we're going through depression. I grew up hearing, and what more, I grew up believing that emotions are a lie, so we don't pay attention to them. I grew up in a good Midwest German-type culture. What do you do with those emotions? You shove them down as deep as you can. And when they start rising up, you start digging and push them down even more. Come on. I know I'm not the only one. This is not how you deal with emotions. You got to name them. You have to pay attention to them.
Your emotions are a gift from God. But don't just pay attention to the emotions. Name them. Name that. I feel angry today. Do it in prayer if you have to. If that makes you feel more religious. I feel angry. I feel anxious. I feel betrayed. I feel empty. I feel afraid. I feel numb. Naming your emotions opens the door to changing your emotions. And this is scientifically proven. My wife hates spiders. Absolutely cannot stand them. Okay? I am proud to say I am the spider slayer of the house. I wear that mantle well. I'm very proud of my masculinity that I can kill a spider, especially when my wife is screaming about it. That's about all I can do, but that's fine. And there was a study done of people like my wife who are deathly afraid of spiders. I don't know, deathly afraid. That hated spiders, okay? They divide them into four groups. Group one was told, label what you feel. Because they brought a tarantula in to the room. And they told group one, on a piece of paper, write down what you feel. A big, scary monster. Hairy. To group two, they said, just make an observation. The spider was kept in the cage. I was nowhere near the spider. To group three, they said, make an irrelevant observation. Pastor is really short. You know, something like that. And group number four, they told them to do nothing at all. Once again, every one of these people are terrified of spiders. After a week, all the participants were called back to study their physiological responses to not being in a room with a spider, but actually holding a spider. The same tarantula was brought back. Those who named their emotions performed remarkably better than the other three groups. Once again, naming your emotions, when we name our emotions, what we are doing is we're opening up space for the Holy Spirit to change our emotions. By naming, we're opening up space for the Holy Spirit to change. This is exactly what Jeremiah did. So stay with me, Josh. He says in verse 2, I walk in darkness. In verse 4, my skin hurts. My skin and flesh grow old. My skin hurts. My body hurts. My bones ache. Verse number 5. He says, life sucks. Bitterness is creeping in. That's the David version of that one, okay? Verse 6, I long for death. Verse 7, I feel imprisoned by these emotions. Verse 8, I feel as though God doesn't even hear my sobs. He's shutting out my prayers. Once again, emotions are a gift from God. Emotions are valid, but they are not permanent. So therefore, we don't make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Do not make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Name your emotions and understand that they are temporary. Because those who battle depression, I've seen it my entire ministry, they want to quit on their marriage. They want to quit on God. They want to run away. They want to quit on life. They even want to take their own life. Emotions are temporary. Don't make permanent decisions based on the temporary. Don't be ruled by your emotions. The Bible teaches us to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. So you have to be honest with yourself. You have to say, this is how I feel. Name it. Don't be ruled by it. If you don't name it, you're ruled by it.
Truth number two. I wasn't expecting amens on that. That's fine. Truth number two. Your situation may feel hopeless, but with God, there is always hope. Look at verse 21 with me. Verse 21. He says, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I'm in a fog. I'm naming my emotions. My body hurts. Everything aches. God, it feels like you can't even hear my prayer. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, I'm not consumed, and his compassions never fail. They are new each morning, because great is your faithfulness. Because of the great love of the Lord, his compassions never fail, and we are not consumed. Great is his faithfulness. Jeremiah is deeply depressed. He names his emotions, and then he turns to God. He is literally, in this passage, he's taking captive the thoughts and making them obedient to who God is, making them obedient to Christ. I'm going to I'm going to nerd out on you. Stay with me. The Hebrew word for love in this passage is chesed. You got to get that phlegm. Remember, Ruth? You got to get that phlegm going. Chesed. It's a chesedness of God. It's the word for love. Chesed is it's an extremely difficult word to translate in the English language because there is no equivalent term in English to this word. We cannot put it into our language. It's used over 248 times in the Old Testament, and it is packed with meaning. Chesed. It's a rich, multifaceted term that encompasses the idea of love, the idea of kindness, the idea of mercy and loyalty. It literally describes who God is. It describes God's character, chesed. Because of God's chesed, because God is God, I know there's love. Because of God's great chesed, I know there's kindness, because he's kind. The temple's destroyed. He shut out my prayers. I feel this way, but I know my feelings are temporary. So I'm going to rest on what is permanent, and that is God. So I'm going to focus on the prophet saying, I'm going to focus on who God is. He is chesed. He is love. He is kindness. He is mercy. He is loyalty. Jeremiah is in the depths of despair. He's deep in the fog of depression. And he sets his mind on who God is. Because of God, his great love, because of his great chesed, we are not consumed, and his compassions never fail. The term for compassion is, excuse me, it's a term rakum. I did chesed it too many times. It's this term rakum. Say it with me. Rakum. It's just a fun word to say. Rakum. It's the word, the same root word that we get, once again, Hebrews picture. And so what we're picturing is the mother's womb. The same root word we get womb, we get rakum. You see, the womb is a safe place. The womb is the sanctuary in which life begins. In the womb, the child is nourished. In the womb, the child is strengthened. In the womb, the child is protected. Rakum describes the connection of a mother to her unborn child. It was amazing to me how my wife had instinctively knowledge of the baby that I didn't have, especially when it was born. She knew what every cry was. I remember trying to change a diaper, and she's like, no, it just needs a bottle. Okay, my wife's the only one. There's a connection that a mother has with her child that fathers just don't have. And he's placing it on God. He's saying his chesed is there. It does not fail. And his compassion, his rakum. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, because God is God, God is chesed, and because I can be found in his rakum, I am now safe. I've named all my emotions, but I'm going to focus on what's permanent. That is, I am found in Christ. I'm found in God. I am now safe, protected in his womb. In his womb, I'm going to be strengthened. In his compassion, in his rakum, I'm going to be protected. You see, what do you need? What do you do when you need to break free of the fog? What do you need to do when you need to break free from the darkness? When you need to find your way out of depression, you got to change your thinking. Name your emotions and change your thinking. Because with God, there's always hope. It might feel hopeless today, but with God, there's always hope. Needing help, church, is not, I've said this now 3 weeks, I'm going to say it until we're done, and I'll probably say it after that. Needing help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. If you need help figuring out your way through the fog of depression, get help. If you know someone who's needing help, offer to get them help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. So if you're here today and you're in the fog of depression, change your thinking, because a good word brings hope. Anxiety of the heart of a man makes him depressed, but a good word brings hope. I'm anxious ridden with all my emotions, so I've named them. But I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to turn to where there's hope, and I'm going to find the grace that is sufficient for me in God's chesed and God's rakum. In God's love and compassion. That's where you should have said amen, but that's fine. Verse number three, or point number three. Truth one, your emotions are not, your emotions are valid, but they're not permanent. Truth number two, your situation may feel hopeless, but with God there's always hope. And truth number three, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Surrender your emotions to the Lord and be set free. You got to surrender it. It's not enough just to name it and find your place. God requires surrender. It's a change of posture. This is why we lift our hands when we worship. If someone came up and put a gun to me, my hands go up. I'm surrendering. This is why worship is so important. We talked about that last week in dealing with anxiety. It's the same thing with depression. Look at verse 24. I know you're not believing, so we're going to keep preaching. Because you're not saying amen. So I'm just going to keep preaching until my voice gives out or I run out of things to say. So the voice is going to wear out. Okay. Verse 24. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait patiently for the salvation of the Lord. Don't just simply name your emotions or just change your thinking. But we demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We name and we change. And then we take captive every thought to make them obedient to Christ. We surrender them to the Lord. Once again, emotions are a gift from God. We must name them, but we must not cave to them. But like every good gift of God, emotions are subjected to the curse of sin. It's like anything else in the world. This is why I can't wait to get to... I know, when I see them in heaven, I won't feel this way. But I just really want to just give Adam and Eve a piece of my mind. Because our emotions are now subjected to the curse of sin. Just like everything else in the world. Which means my wife's emotions are subjected to the curse of sin. And it means my children's emotions are subject to the curse of sin. And it means that stinking driver in front of me, emotions are subjected to the curse of sin. The driver behind me, you get the idea. Our emotions are subjected to the curse of sin. So that we have to surrender them to God to be set free. Just because they're subjected to curse of sin doesn't mean we can't take authority over them. Because we are told to take captive every thought. We are told that we have the power when our salvation is found in Jesus. Jeremiah is overwhelmed. I got to get back to my notes. I told you I'd just keep preaching. Jeremiah is overwhelmed. Jeremiah is in the depths of despair. Jeremiah is in the fog of depression. So he prophesies to himself. This is key. If you're in depression today, start preaching to yourself. Come on now. We are all priests. God has made us a kingdom of priests unto his God. Christ has made us a kingdom of priests unto our God and Father in Christ Jesus. We are a kingdom of priests, therefore you can preach. Preach it. Preach the word of God to yourself. Lord, I'm lost in depression, but you, Lord, are a shield around me. I'm worried about going to school. I don't want to face that this difficult time. You're going to be a shield around me, for you are my glory and the one who's going to lift my head. I'm not going to give in. I've named it. I feel this way, God. But you're my glory. Lift my head today. Okay, that didn't do it. You're walking around in the fog. It's so hard just to have the energy to do anything. So God, I'm going to take refuge in you, for you are my refuge and strength. You are my ever-present help in time of trouble. I'm going to put my hope in you. I'm going to be found safe in your rock home because you are my fortress and my strength. All right, that didn't do it either. Got it. Church, I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the things present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, including depression, will keep me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You gotta preach to yourself. You gotta call on God. You gotta understand what His Word is, because it's alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It will penetrate your heart, your depression, separating soul and spirit like joint and marrow. And it penetrates to the thoughts and intents of your heart. Name your emotions. Surrender them to God. Because in God there's hope. Preach to yourself, church. You don't give in to the depression. You don't give in to the feelings. You preach it to yourself. And 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 you preach it to yourself. You don't stop because it's the Word of God and it's truth. Anxiety brings depression, weighs a heart's man. the heart of a man to depression. But the good word, the word of God, brings hope. Pastor Aisha, you better get on up here. I've got like six more of those. You better get up here. As we close, I want to get real with you. You can go ahead and put that picture up. This is a picture that was taken a few years ago. I was in the fog of depression when this picture was taken. Marchese's maybe 18 months at this time. We were talking about it. This particular morning, it was extremely difficult for me to even get out of bed. Took every ounce of energy I had. I was depressed. You see, we had been pastors. We've spoken at camps and retreats. We've led ministries of hundreds of people. We led so many people to Christ. I had personally witnessed God do some amazing miracles. Ears grow back. Like, literal ears grew as I laid my hands on someone. I don't know what happened other than the power of God. I watched bones and joints straighten out. I've seen God do such incredible miracles. I knew it to be true because I saw it with my own eyes. And yet I was stuck in a deep, dark depression. We were broke financially. We were broke spiritually. We were broke emotionally. And I was physically broke. Jeremiah's words of my bones ache were true. I was hopeless. We were homeless, church. I would tell people this: I'm living the American dream. I'm raising my kids in my Filipino in-laws' basement. Because it was the only way I could explain our situation without bursting into tears. I was broken. The fog was real. And I remember that morning, when the few mornings I remember during this season. I remember I was in the shower. And I cried out to God. I said, God, I need you. And that simple prayer took every last ounce of energy I had. I said, Lord, I need to know what's worth fighting for. Lord, I need to know why I should even try any longer. Church, I was in a dark, dark place. I remember I had to sit down for about 30 minutes because I physically could not stand after praying that prayer. Prayer took all the energy I had. And I knew that as soon as I opened up the door to the bathroom, I'd have two little ones smiling, saying, Daddy. And I had to muster the energy to smile. But I wasn't even sure if the muscles of my face could even do it anymore. No sooner did I open the door than little Marchese was standing there with her arms open. She hugged me. My wife took that picture. She didn't know what I was going through. I hadn't told her. I hadn't started naming my emotions. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I was lost. The fog was lost in the darkness. And I needed my Savior. was in that moment as she hugged me, I heard the voice of our Father speak once again. It's been so long since I heard His voice. It was beautiful. It was amazing. I can't tell you what He told me because I was just so overwhelmed that I could hear His voice again. And you know what happened in that moment? You know what changed in my spirit in that moment? You know what happened to the fog of depression in that moment? Absolutely nothing. And for that, I'm so extremely grateful. Because our good shepherd taught me that it was safe to trust in Him, even in the depression. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You see, church, too often we look for miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe God is going to do miracles today. Don't misunderstand me. But too often we want what I'm going to call fast food miracles. We come, we place our need with God as we come in the door, as we drive to church. It's like the drive-through window. I'm going to go, I'm going to place my order. And by the time pastor says amen and I walk out of here, I want my food hot and ready. Okay, I thought that was a funny way to put it. But oftentimes that's not how God operates. God can do miracles and God does do miracles. But God most often, but more times than not, He leads us on a journey. And it was the journey through depression that taught me to love Him more. It was the journey through depression that taught me how to love and be loved. It led me to counseling where I got the tools to fight the demon of depression. And it's a demon from the pit of hell. Tools like naming my emotions. I remember I was told, how do you feel? And I got so mad. Like the counselor looks at me, how do you feel? Like, drives me crazy after a big win. When Michigan beats Wisconsin today, you know, they're going to put that microphone in someone's face and say, how does this victory make you feel? It drives me crazy. Who cares? So she asked me, how do you feel? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't pay attention to my feelings. Feelings lie. No, they don't. Yes, they do. No, they don't. Yes, they do. I was arguing with a therapist for pretty much the entire session over whether I needed to name an emotion or not. She gave me tools, like how to name my emotion. Tools like being still in the presence of God. Tools like paying attention to my breath. Church, the hug you see on the screen was a moment of my surrendering my emotional confusion to the Lord. It was a moment of surrender. And it was in that moment where I knew salvation was going to come. What seconds earlier had been hopeless, now there was a light on the horizon, and it was faint, but it was there. And it was there, it was in that moment I had a peace that passed all understanding, not because my little girl hugged me, but because in that moment I knew my Heavenly Father was holding me in His everlasting arms. I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. You can take the picture off the screen. From that moment on, I was at every altar call. Prayer team, come on up. I remember going forward for salvation call at least 15 times. I didn't care. Because I knew it was at the altar where miracles took place. I knew it was at the altar where I could get in the presence and I could touch my Savior and I'd hear His voice again. It didn't matter what the altar call was. The fog was so intense. I just needed to hear God to speak. I needed to make room for the Holy Spirit to guide me. I needed the love of my Savior to be made real over and over and over again. I show up at the church office on a Monday morning and wait for the pastor to show up just so I could receive more prayer. I knew I could do it myself, but I just wanted prayer because that was the way through. And this is why week after week I offer this chance, and I'm going to continue to offer a chance, because this is where miracles happen, is at the altar. And I'm not talking fast food miracles. I'm talking genuine miracles of God. This is where life-changing power is found. So church, it's time to pray. If you're in the fog of depression, come. If you're sick in body, come. If you're in need today, come. If you struggle mentally, come. Physically, come. Emotionally, come. If you're struggling spiritually, come. Meet with your Maker and hear His voice. The Bible teaches us to call on the elders of the church and pray, have them pray for you. Have them anoint you with oil. And church, if you do, you will walk out changed under the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Aishi, will you lead us in a time of prayer?